Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Ah, yes, we're using the candlestick microphone stand. It's time for your Gitmo Nation audio publication 106.
This is No Agenda.
Coming to you from an undisclosed hotel location in Los Angeles, California, Gitmo Nation West. Hello, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from the West, and it's Father's Day, by the way, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, John.
It appears to be Father's Day. Yes. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. I have not received a happy Father's Day greeting from my child, but I wasn't expecting it.
Maybe she'll Twitter you one.
It would be nice.
So we got a lot of stuff to cover this week.
Yes.
First, I want to send out a couple of apologies. One, for calling you an a-hole. My wife said that you don't realize that I actually probably made you the a-hole because after traveling, she says she refuses to talk to me for 12 hours at least. And she says that you apparently are one of the few people that don't realize that I'm not a normal person after traveling.
Oh, okay. First of all, apology accepted. I did not take any offense. Things that are said on the show is a problem. But I want to say one thing. You were totally stuck in one of your many sub-personalities, and I recognize it, and I love you for it. So it's not a problem.
Yeah, whatever. Now, I also want to apologize to the listeners out there who we told to give a $2 a month thing, and then we retold them to do 24 a year or something else because the $2 a month is really a scam that gets most of the money to PayPal. Somebody wrote in saying, I'm not going to change until you apologize for making that $2 suggestion in the first place.
Okay. Well, we're sorry. So, what the hell did we know?
I'm so sorry.
I didn't mean it.
Well, we didn't know what we were doing. We're just still figuring out how to do this.
Yeah. Now, we're new. We're noobs.
Now, since we're going to start off with the Father's Day thing,
okay,
I get to begin by complaining about the network news.
Oh yes,
ABC News in particular, and I'm going to. I'd like to play a clip. And first, I want to tell you this half-hour news show consisted of a little news about Iran, this following clip, and then in between those clips and everything else in between, probably about 50 or 60 commercials, usually for some product that, you know, you have to be 90 years old to appreciate.
Like an erectile dysfunction product?
No, I'll tell you what they are, and we'll go over them after we play this. But first, this is Obama on Father's Day. Now, you have to realize that this thing is ridiculously long.
Okay.
It's Obama talking about Father's Day and how important it is, which is probably a good thing. I mean, because he does set the president sets the moral tone for the country.
Yes, and fathers are important, and parental units.
And he does. He has a couple one-liners in there. Of course, then they have a message at the end, which is political. And by the way, while they're doing this, they have all these pictures that are showing these clips that are so carefully prepared, and it's done like you'd see on a Macintosh or a PC where show a still photo
and it moves.
It zooms in.
It's
slow.
There's a name for that. Who was the guy who invented that? Oh, come on, John.
I don't know.
It's not that. It's like not Carl Zeiss, but the other guy, the something effect. Ah, crap. Twitter it to us.
Yeah, somebody will know. But anyway, yeah, you have a photo and then it moves slowly.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's play Obama on Father's Day.
The White House marked Father's Day a little early today with a conference on how much difference good dads can make. President Obama said he
early
learned that lesson
the news
from the
cycle.
Absence of his own father.
Very.
And he was also asked, what's more fun? Being a father.
Oh, is this, that's what's his face?
Yeah, Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, Stephanopoulos, Weasel Boy. Yeah, okay.
He's not very good.
No. he looks like a weasel.
Being president.
Nothing is more fun than being a father. Now, my kids aren't teenagers yet, so I don't know.
Why is that funny?
Oh, he's always got a bunch of, he's got an audience all the time now whenever he does anything, and they always laugh at everything he does. He wants to be, he's going to go into stand-up.
I wonder if they have cue cards, you know, like laugh, you know, chuckle.
Well, they have one of those guys standing on the side, you know,
waving his arms with a script in his hands, clapping for the crowd. All right.
I don't know whether that will maintain itself. It turns out that you can still carve out time to make sure that you're having a conversation with your kid. And what it does mean is that fathers sometimes have to give up stuff that they'd like to do instead. Like just sit there and watch SportsCenter. I just watch it once. So that I can then spend time with the girls because they don't like watching basketball that much. There have been days when the demands of work have taken me from my duties as a father, and I've missed some moments in my daughter's lives that I'll never get back. So I've been far from perfect. But in the end, it's not about being perfect. It's not always about succeeding, but it's about always trying. To those fathers who maybe haven't been involved in their child's life, it's to emphasize that this isn't an obligation. You know, this is a privilege to be a father.
When asked about his Father's Day gift, the president said he wanted something Malia and Sasha might have a hard time delivering. A health care bill.
What? What does that have to do with it?
Nothing. By the way, for anybody out there who likes, you know, one of the things we don't have a jingle for are memes that we try to spot when we do the show.
Yeah.
Well, there's one, and I kept hearing over and over from the Republicans on various talk shows, and it's exactly the same wording. I think, you know, Jon Stewart could probably get a bunch of these clips. And it goes like this. It says, people do not want a bureaucrat that stands between the doctor and the patient. And the term is a bureaucrat standing between the doctor and the patient. A bureaucrat standing between the doctor and the patient. A bureaucrat standing between the doctor and the patient. You know, I think the Republicans are on the wrong side of this debate.
Yeah, it sounds like completely against all of their typical morals.
It's all, you know, there's just obviously a lot of lobbyists involved, and they don't want the government, mainly from healthcare companies. They don't, you know, all that's really going on here is the government wants to start its own healthcare company, company, and they're going to lowball everybody, and everybody doesn't like it.
I'm telling you, we had, have you ever met Lawrence's wife?
No.
From the office. First of all, wow, she's a stunningly beautiful woman. She's a scientist. And she was in the office, and she was talking about what she was doing. She is out on the road now. She's a scientist out on the road 24/7 trying to raise money for medical science. She said, every single program has been cut. All budgets are gone. We have to now go beg for money for medical research. Isn't that one of the things this country is great for, is for its medical research?
But now it's a bureaucrat standing between the doctor and the patient.
Oh, man. Hey, by the way, my daughter did Twitter me Happy Father's Day.
She's probably listening to the stream. By the way, there's also a chat room called noagendachat.com. People can go into it. It's automatic.
She's probably not listening to the stream. Hey, there's a little bit left on this clip. Do you want me to play the last 20 seconds, or was that it?
No, that clip should be over.
Okay. Well, there's 20 more seconds.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. Oh, wow. First of all, I feel really good. And how weird is it in this day and age that that your kid Twitters you a happy Father's Day? That's kind of interesting. And, of course, the newspaper will pick that up.
Yeah, that's true.
Seriously, the newspapers have been reprinting the Twitters she's been sending to me and the ones I've been sending back to her.
The newspapers in Holland.
Yeah, in Holland. How crazy is that? Oh, God. Well, anyway, okay. I feel good. I feel good now.
Good. So let's make you feel bad by playing the Hawaii clip.
Okay. Thanks. This is the definition of the buzzkill, ladies and gentlemen. Are you going to set this one up or just go straight into
it? Yeah, let me set it up. This is just a news item that we've all heard this week, and I just thought it was one of the most peculiar things ever done. It's just, and now all these news guys, nobody questions any of this stuff. They just run this stuff, you know, full cloth, and just play it. Well, you'll see what it is.
Also tonight, American warships are tracking a North Korean vessel off the coast of China that may be carrying illegal weapons. Meantime.
First of all, illegal weapons?
Says who?
Yeah, what is illegal? What is an illegal weapon? It means not sanctioned by the U.S. government? You know, these kill people slower? I mean, what the hell is, are they defective?
The Pentagon is beefing up our missile defense system to protect Hawaii from a North Korean missile attack.
Oh, God.
A Japanese newspaper reports the North may be planning to test fire another missile, this one aimed at Hawaii on the 4th of July.
Yeehaw! And the bombs bursting in there.
Why does anybody actually believe that North Korea is going to fire a missile at Hawaii?
This is ridiculous.
Most analysts doubt.
And meanwhile, they go Gates. All these go. Oh, we're gonna beef up missile defense. We don't have any missile defenses. And why would they be firing on Hawaii? Why would you just bomb the crap out of North Korea if they do that? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And by the way, when they show these clips, they have all these stock photos of what you're supposed to imagine Korea is. It's just a bunch
of military.
Military goose steppers.
That's the same. Aaron Burnett was in Russia, and I was watching the show on CNBC, and the same thing. They end the show with the credits, and it's all goose-stepping Russians and all weaponry. I mean, Russia is a beautiful... There's some beautiful things in Russia. Beautiful architecture.
I've never seen any goose-steppers
in Russia.
They've got
Prada and Gucci stores, you know, and all we see is goose-stepping Russian soldiers.
It could reach the islands, but Defense Secretary Robert Gates isn't taking any chances, deploying a giant radar and...
Whoa! A giant radar.
What's a giant radar?
It's bigger than a big one. It's a giant radar. Woo!
And missile interceptors to the Hawaiian Islands.
Passengers aboard a transatlantic flight.
Do we go to the next story?
Yeah, you might as well.
This is good.
From Brussels had no idea until they landed that their pilot had died mid-flight. The Continental flight landed safely at Newark shortly before noon. About 3 hours into the flight, a call went out for doctors on board. A cardiologist responded and found the captain, 60-year-old Craig Linnell, dead in the cockpit.
Okay.
No, now the clips, you have to do the final clips because the one that gets me is the one at the end.
When I came in, it was just too late. We tried.
This is still the...
Yeah, this is the doctor who found the dead pilot.
Well, that's why they have two pilots on board.
Terrible for him. Very grateful to be here. Pretty scary.
Okay, this is an American today. Oh, it's pretty scary. Well, first of all, the pilot rarely lands the plane. It's usually the co-pilot anyway.
No, that's not true. They switch legs, so it's either
They both. It's not like there's nobody that can land the plane.
No, and the plane can pretty much land. The plane can land itself. As well.
That's true.
And by the way, I took Virgin America from San Francisco to Los Angeles on Friday, and if you've never had, well, you have done Virgin America, and I want to thank you, by the way, John. I got an upgrade to first class for $25, not $50 as you said. It was $25, which I thought was interesting.
Wow, that's new.
Yeah, well, I swiped my card at the airport and said, "Do you want to upgrade? $25?" I'm like, "Hell yeah!" But we had absolutely the hottest 5'10" tall, slender. Female captain flying this plane. And you know how the captain on Virgin America, the captain does the welcoming word to the passengers? Did you have that on your flight? I like that very much, by the way. That's, you know, it's like, "Hi, I'm your captain."
Was she standing out in front?
Yeah, she was standing out in front. She actually walked down the aisle and said hi to everybody before she took off.
This is some new thing because when I came back from New York on JetBlue, the captain was doing the same thing on JetBlue.
Well, I think they're copycatting Virgin, but I really like. I said, "Could I please take a picture with you?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, you know, she was older. I think she was probably about 50."
Take a picture.
Yeah, I was like, "Cause you're like, in all the years I've been flying, I've never seen such a hot captain. I need to have a picture." And there you go. Next question.
Well, anyway, but back to that other story. The point is how was it scary for this woman when she didn't even find out about it until she landed?
Well, because we're not making news, John. We're making entertainment. We're making show. We need
to. It's scary. I'm scared.
All right.
Anyway, let me finish up the one thing about the. I'm going to read you a list. You know, the way that that crappy George Stephanopoulos ABC News network news went, it was just a story about Obama. Then they went to commercials, and then they went one single story on the new normal, which is a theme they're doing, and then more commercials. I'm going to read you the commercials that they had. First, they started an Omneris commercial, which is about nose allergies specifically.
Yeah.
That was commercial number one. Then the Lost Child Brick House Child Locator Duracell commercial. For the lost child out there.
The precursor to chipping your child, yes.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Then an Ambien CR sleep remedy, the dual dose, and then quitting cold turkey and Nicoderm CQ commercial, then save a crackhead, homeless, shattered life Salvation Army commercial, then a Democrats versus Republicans House ad. That's all the list of commercials. They're all 1 minute. Then they go to this one story, one lone story, boom, back to commercials. Starts with a commercial for Cashy, which is some sort of that's like a starch or something you can eat. Vitamin one a day commercial aimed at men's prostrates.
That's your a-hole.
Tuscany entrees for fancy feast cat food.
You're killing me. You're killing me. Stop. You're killing me. You're just
Medicare
killing me.
Medicare supplements for the AARP. A Pfizer commercial.
So this is all 99% is Big Pharma.
Yeah.
99%.
Yeah, and then a local house ad for ABC, and then a national house ad for ABC. And then they went to the final story, which was a fake ESPN story for Kurt Warner, Habitat for Humanity, which was a fluff piece, and that was the end of the news. It sucked!
Hey, you know, I was so angry last show, not because of what you called me, but right after we were done with the show, and it was late, you know, and it was like 1 o'clock, and I was, you know, mixing it down and getting ready to upload it, and I go to the reading room, as we would call it, for a conference call, and I'm reading the Wall Street Journal, and I get so pissed because right there on section B, page 1, is this whole article about how the FDA warns against the use of Zicam, that it can cause permanent loss of smell.
Yeah.
And the stock got hammered, like down 75% in one day. This is a homeopathic remedy. It's not even a drug.
It's not even, and it's not, and using zinc for cold cures is hardly new.
It's been used for decades, if not 100 years. But it's like, I'm reading this, and of course, there's a new guy at the FDA. Oh, gee, does that make any sense? What's the guy's name? The new FDA commissioner, Margaret Peggy Hamburg.
Peggy.
Is that her nickname, Peggy?
I don't know.
Yeah, it says Peggy in quotes.
You don't think, by the way, I did a little research on this, and you don't think maybe any of this slamming of the Zicam stuff, it has anything to do with plow sharing, the big pharma company coming out probably within the next year with a cold remedy based on some drug they've been testing and just came out of stage 2 testing like a year ago?
Of course it does. That's the first thing I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe they're actually doing this. The Ministry of Truth comes out with this whole article in the Wall Street effing Journal, okay, which I might point out is owned by Rupert Murdoch, which is now a complete Fox company. So, you know, this is not even, this newspaper is not even worthy of wiping my ass with. I mean, it's a complete freaking outrage. And how can we just let this pass by? This is exactly what happened with the FDA when we had the new administration come in, Rumsfeld came in, and then all of a sudden we had a new FDA guy, and then we had aspartame. Then all of a sudden aspartame was approved. This is exactly what happens. This is how Big Pharma gets poison into our system. It's how they keep healthy stuff out. And if it was really true that Zicam, highly recommended to me by one of my best friends to use against cold remedy, who's been using it for years, you're a professional wine taster. You're a judge. If you lost your sense of smell, I mean, this would be a travesty for the wine industry.
Yeah.
It clearly is a lie. And no one does anything. Where are all the follow-up stories?
Where's the studies
where's the proof?
That say that
where's
it does
the proof?
This?
Exactly.
Yeah, where's the proof?
I mean, and if the government can just do this and just say, oh, you know what? Well, we really think your shit is dangerous. Boom, the company's dead. I mean, Matrix shares dropped 70% in after-hours trading. They might as well just close the doors.
By the way, if you just had the inside scoop on that press announcement, you would have been an easy street if you'd known to short that stock.
Fuck. Excuse me. Yes. Hell yes.
I'm always suspicious.
Can Horowitz look at that and see who was shorting? Is there a way to look at that? Because I'll guarantee you that there were...
With Bloomberg terminals, you can do it. But, you know, it's...
After the fact, it's too hard.
I mean, no, it's doable, but they won't investigate. Who's going to investigate? The SEC?
No, but I'd like to know. Oh, by the way, June 16th came and went. Where is the sentencing of Bernard Madoff?
I don't know. Where.
Remember? June 16th, yeah. He's going to be sentenced. That's the big there's nothing. Not a single newspaper. I have the Financial Times. I have the Wall Street Journal. I have the New York Times. Not a single paper has done any follow-up. I guess there was just no sentencing. Or it happened and no one reported on it. We've been waiting for this for 2 months. This guy who stole $50 billion from all these poor, poor old people. And now all of a sudden there's nothing? It just didn't happen? Come on. Come on.
Yeah, I forgot that's a good one. So, since we're in the mood for this kind of stuff, let's go back to the clips.
Okay. The Hawaii thing is over, right? Because there was another 20 seconds on that as well.
No, the Hawaii thing's over. That was just a woman going, oh, I'm so scary. She didn't even know it was happening. I couldn't believe this. Okay, let's do... Okay, I got to set up this one. This is the Ambien CR commercial in its entirety. It's a 60-second commercial. So I timed it out. Now, there's two things I want you to listen to when you listen to this commercial. One is the music and sound effects they play in the background to make you put you in a mood. And it's kind of funny when you don't watch the commercial because you can really pick up on the sounds that they have. And here's what's interesting about the commercial. The actual commercial is 17 seconds, actually 16, about 16 seconds of a commercial. And the remaining 60 seconds.
Oh, it's disclaimer.
The remaining six. Now, I was thinking about this. They make. Remember, we talked about this before, and there's been studies that show that
if you have warning on cigarettes,
the warnings actually are attractive to people.
Yes.
So they're now making these commercials, so it's almost all a warning.
And by the way, the length I see on the time is 55 seconds. It's amazing how mainstream media can actually shorten 60-second commercials to 55 seconds.
There's a little visual at the beginning, and a little visual at the end that makes the 5 seconds.
All right, let's listen to it. And the disclaimers. Oh boy, I'm hot already.
When morning comes in the middle of the night, it affects your entire day. To get a good night's sleep, try two-layer Ambien CR. The first layer dissolves quickly to help you fall asleep. And unlike other sleep aids, a second dissolves slowly to help you stay asleep. When taking Ambien CR, don't drive or operate machinery. Sleepwalking and eating or driving while not fully awake, with memory loss for the event, as well as abnormal behaviors such as being more outgoing or aggressive than normal, confusion, agitation, and hallucinations may occur. Don't take it with alcohol.
First of all, those first three things I'm highly interested in. I think the hallucination sounds cool. I like the whole, sleepwalking thing. I'm like, yeah, I'll try
this.
Did
you notice the rooster in the phone?
And the phone ringing. And the sound, you're right, the soundtrack is boom, ding, boom, ding, boom.
As it may increase these behaviors, allergic reactions such as shortness of breath, swelling of your tongue or throat may occur, and in rare cases,
my tongue.
This may be fatal. Side effects may include next day drowsiness, dizziness, and headache. In patients with depression, worsening of depression, including risk of suicide, may occur. If you experience any of these behaviors or reactions, contact your doctor immediately. Wake up ready for your day. Ask your healthcare provider for 2-layer Ambien CR.
This shit sounds better than crack.
It's unbelievable.
It really does. This sounds like some good mojo. I need to try me some Ambien.
You're walking around in your sleep. Hallucinating. You don't remember what you did.
I want to kill myself. Oh, I swallowed my tongue. And all this cool stuff. This is the brain. The human brain works in very interesting ways. And here's something you can test yourself. This is for the benefit of the audience. If you tell someone, don't forget to do something, you have a 90% chance they will forget.
Because the word don't is never registered.
Right. But if you say remember to do something, then you have a 90% chance that person will remember it. So it does work in reverse ways many times. And the studies have shown that the warning signs on cigarettes that you will die young, it actually encourages people to buy it. And so, it makes total sense that that's not a disclaimer. The actual commercial is that 50 seconds of legal shit. I'm liking it.
Yeah.
Of course we're not using it. No agenda does not encourage the use of any drugs sanctioned by the FDA. Go smoke a frickin' joint, please. Ay. Wow.
All right, well, before we get to more clips.
Yeah.
Now I got one here that I said, was it Greg?
What?
One of the clips' names.
Oh, hold on, let me check. Greg laughs.
Oh yeah, jeez. Okay, we'll have to hold off on that one.
All of a sudden, your connection's kind of funky.
Oh well, let me talk louder.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's play this one. This the sex decoy.
Okay.
I was just tuning around the Dish Network and I ran into. A new channel I never saw before. It was RLTY. I said, what is this, a real estate channel? No, it's Fox Reality. It's a new, whole new network that Fox threw up that has got some of the most dreadful shows imaginable. Mm-hmm. And this one here, which is Sex Decoy, Sex Decoy, it's got a subtitle. Let me look it up.
All right. Hey, and we also have to do some other stuff. Although, you know, people don't like it if we only do clips.
Yeah, well, they're going to like this one. It's called Sex Decoy Love Stings. Let me explain what this is.
They got I can already feel what's going on. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
They got this hot chick and her sisters, and they go out to get hired to find some poor schlub who happens to be, you know, who likes to hang out at bars for whatever reason, and they lure him. Lure him to give him a ride home.
Hey, buddy. You look really ugly and lonely. Can these two hot chicks give you a ride home? Hey, we're not fooling.
And he gives him a ride home. And then they cajole him into coming in. And when he comes in on this show, his wife is there.
Oh, God. It's the. They're the setting worst. These guys. Oh, that's horrible.
It's totally horrible.
Oh, no.
And anyway, play it.
Okay, sexy.
Just so you get a feeling for it. This is a short clip, but just gives you a concept of what the. Ooh, there's like some guy who seems to be gay to me who's one of the setup guys.
Hope that he doesn't turn out to be just another typical cheater for her sake.
Oh, a typical cheater.
You're really going to be able to help her, so this sting has got to go down perfect for her.
This sting has got to go down perfectly.
But I don't want anything to get screwed up.
Let's do this.
Okay.
It's like Dog the Bounty Hunter. Let's do this. Okay, let's go fuck this guy's life up.
A few days later, Jody contacted us to let us know that Matt would be out late. The plan was for me to meet him at a bar and lure him to a hotel room where Jody will be waiting to confront him. She suspected that he would be at Tailgaters.
That's it.
What?
That's it. Basically, the clip. Okay. That just gives you an idea what they're up to.
Right. Okay. So let me say something about this. So television, network television, cable television, all television in general, this analog, real time, start to finish, you know, 22 minutes of programming without the commercials type of media is. Now I have to officially declare it bad for your health. They've gone so overboard. What you need to do is you need to just throw out your television. I'm not even buying a television in my new apartment. I'm just not going to buy one because it is going to kill you. It's going to melt your brain. You need to find independent alternative media online. Watch that. Enjoy that. Commercials seem to be upfront and in your face and transparent. There's a lot of really good stuff going on out on that thing called the internet. You need to stop watching television. It is going to do nothing but kill you in the long run. You have to stop watching it. It is just, it's done. And no wonder it's going downhill. No wonder companies like Mevio are actually growing slowly, but we're growing because the majority of people will catch on eventually. A part of us is just going to die watching this. We'll die in our Barco loungers watching, you know, this type of programming, and the rest will hopefully make it. But this medium is going away. Newspapers are going away. It's dead. It's over and done with. We knew this was going to happen 20 years ago. When we saw the internet, we all said, oh yeah, well, this is going to kill it all. And it's taken 20 years. It may take another 10, but it is going to happen. Help it. Help it die a respectful death.
Oh, by the way, I went to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And it was threat level orange.
Whoa. What's it been threat level orange forever?
I noticed that.
Yeah, they keep saying it.
So what's the point?
San Francisco Airport is currently under threat level orange.
By the way, threat level orange at Oakland, the sign is permanently attached.
it's tattooed. I got checked by TSA. It was kind of a cute TSA agent. Her name was Shelley. She was probably about 48, 49, but, you know, just like my pilot, kind of slender, kind of tall, and very sweet. But she was training another guy. And and of course, my bag is filled with wireless transmitters, you know, all kinds of funky looking devices. I've got tons and tons of stuff in there that, you know, my laptop, everything's in there. Battery chargers, batteries. Normally it goes through without a hitch. Of course, unless you have a bottle of water in there, then it's like, bag check, water, water, water.
I had this experience coming out of Manhattan. I had this thing loaded up with gear, but I had one small bottle of water that I get picked up on the airplane from trip over.
What?
And
bang,
then
check,
they spotted
check,
that bottle of water.
Water, water, water. Stop, there's dangerous water on board. And so, and she swabs everything, and she's showing the guy. Now, first I take the disc, and then I swab the inside. And she, and I have a bag inside the bag. So she had like four swabs. I've never seen it before. And then make sure you, and the guy is yawning behind her. I swear to God, John, he's like, you know, he's like falling down this moron who was being trained. And yeah, you know, and I'm just like, okay, you know, I'm just going to be really, really calm, and I feel good, you know, I'm in love, I'm feeling happy about life, and so I'm just chilling. And I've never had such a thorough bag check. And then she finally winds up by saying, "Sir, I want to thank you for being so incredibly patient." And I said, "You know, as TSA agents go, you're one smoking hot babe. I didn't mind watching you do that at all." Yes. And then the guy, all of a sudden, he's like, "Oh, like Ed McMahon." And he was like a fucking moron. And she laughed too. You know, she's like, "Oh, okay."
By the way, I had one of those experiences with somebody being trained again, and they did the same thing with me. They swabbed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever.
Speaking of the TSA, and this goes back to, remember the guy who had like $5,000 in cash, and then the TSA pulled him aside?
Yeah, he's back in the news.
Yeah, so the news, in case you hadn't read it, according to the TSA, and you can look this up on there, and there's a lawsuit now, of course, pending about all this, from the, is it the Civil Liberties, whatever?
ACLU.
According to the TSA, this is the right they claim. Okay, so and of course there should be a lawsuit about this, and I'm happy that they're doing it. Passengers are required to cooperate with the screening process. Cooperation may involve answering questions about their property. A passenger who refuses to answer questions may be referred to appropriate authorities for further inquiry. So yeah. This has to be a violation of our civil rights.
Of course.
Before I forget, the Creative Commons lawsuit I brought against the Telegraaf Publishing Corporation in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
They settled. They rolled over on their back like little bitches. And they have now sent an undisclosed sum of money to War Child and Stop AIDS Now as part of the settlement.
Good. Well, that was maybe it'll teach some. You know, these people have to. I mean, they're the ones who are all upset about copyright.
Yeah, and they also signed a covenant that says if they ever do that again, automatic 50,000 euro penalty. They signed the covenant.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so another win for the little guy.
Unless you could hire these people that do the sex scam thing and get them to trick them into taking a photo.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that just be so cool? Hey, I wanted to mention that I got a package from Finland yesterday, and I have received the brand new Nokia N97, which, I've only started to play around with it, so I don't have a review or anything, but I will say when it comes to aesthetics and how it feels in your hand and the keyboard and everything, very impressed. I have no idea how it works as a phone and everything.
That's a regular phone. It's not the full keyboard one, though.
Yes,
right?
It is. No, it's a flip up. It's beautiful. You kind of so if you hold it horizontally and you push the screen, it clicks up and it kind of sits at an angle. So I you know, it'll take a while for me to figure out how useful it is, because I have to say I am so digging my G phone. I am so loving this device. It is. I mean, what an outrageously good phone that is, you know, because of all the services, the new upgrade has really enhanced battery life. That's gotten a lot better. And I sit on the plane and I see all these jabronis with their iPhones, and the iPhone to me has just become the coolest, the uncoolest, gayest thing to have right now. It's like, you got an iPhone, you're on my loser list almost automatically, particularly if you have a big rubber thing around it. You know,
I don't get why people put all that crap on the thing. But now I'm looking at the N97 now, which it looks like it could become easily enough an Android phone, because you got a big screen.
Well, this is the problem. I'm already knowing that I will not like the Series 60 Symbian operating system, because the way Android ties into Google. And what do I use? I mean, I use Google Mail. I use Google Calendar. I use Google Docs sometimes. I totally... you know, the search, I mean, all of these things, the maps function is outrageous. Now they have, if you download the new Google Maps application, it has voice search and it works. I mean, it really works. You just say the name and boom, it finds it, you know, and it recognizes it even in a car in a noisy environment. Way freaking impressed. And if these guys didn't have that spam thing called AdSense, they'd be so out of business because it costs so much money to make beautiful stuff like this. So yay, Google. And of course, you know, they can have all my data. Go ahead, track me everywhere you want. I don't give a crap.
I think it's interesting, the N97, when you pop it up, the screen actually comes up at an angle.
Yes, it's very cute. So it has kind of a laptop-y type of feel.
Now, is that a touch screen?
Yes, it's a touch screen, although it's funny because you open up the box, and they're kind of doing an Apple thing now with a black box, and it's all beautifully packaged. And there's a little like rectangular thing in there. I'm like, oh wow, is it like some kind of memory stick? And I open it up and it's a stylus. And I'm like, hello, Finland, 2009 calling, you know, get rid of the stylus.
Yeah. But the first thing you lose.
Yeah. But it has a little rope attached to it. So I guess you can, you know, wrap it.
Did you get the white
neck.
One or the black one?
A black one. Yeah. No. I was actually offered an option, but I got the black one. And so, yeah, it is a touch screen, and it's kind of the touch screen, as far as I can tell, is really nice. It's responsive. The scrolling, I haven't tested out enough to know how well that works, but they're kind of going more for a hybrid laptop type thing. And I think that's a very interesting try. So, it'll take me a few weeks. Like, you know, you can't just review this overnight, you know. You really got to live with it. But the problem was I synced up all of my data and I have about 5,000 contacts in my E71. And then I booted up the N97 and said, can't access contacts from phone memory. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to deal with that this weekend. I'll deal with that later. So I'm going to try it again. I have to reset or whatever. But, just from the aesthetic point of view, I think they really nailed something there. It's the right size. It looks beautiful.
It looks good.
Yeah, it does.
But it should be they should just give it up and go Android. Hey, by the way, I wanted to make a comment, you know, since it finally ended this week, you know, the battle between Sarah Palin and David Letterman.
Oh, yeah. The battle I have not been following.
You got a real news clip thing for me?
Yeah, well, John, of course I do. Please allow me to play that for you.
And now, back to real news.
Couple of things. The jokes which have been published over and over again, nobody has said this. The jokes were funny.
Okay. I never heard them. We have no clips.
One of them says, you know, that Sarah came to New York City so she can get some makeup to update her slutty stewardess look is one of them.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's funny. The jokes were funny. People, they were tasteless. No, they weren't. They were funny jokes. And it was a late night show, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, they go on with this thing about, oh, you know, these encouraging statutory rape and all the rest of it. So I decided to look up, you know, her daughter at 17 was pregnant, right?
Yeah.
But of course, in Alaska, the age of sexual consent is 16. I looked this up.
Mm-hmm.
But the age for viewing adult material in Alaska
is 21.
It's 18.
Wait a minute.
It seems to me that a naked boy that you're probably going to be having sex with, in her case, is adult material, don't you think? Is this rule kind of weird? Because if the age of consent is 16, but you can't view adult material, and I think a naked man with an erection is adult material.
I have to say, I love this country. For many years, through many of my own personal issues, I only saw the dark side of the United States. And now that I'm kind of back here living again, this is a wonderful country. People on the street talk to you and say nice things, and it's not always, hey, give me a dollar. Hey, man, can I buy a cigarette off of you? But, you know, the people are generally nice and happy, and if you really want to work, you can work and make money and survive and live. But the one thing that is very difficult for me to get past having a European upbringing is this whole thing about the naked body, you know, and it ranges from Janet Jackson's nipple, which, by the way, was just an ugly ass nipple. That was the shocking thing. It was just a freaky nipple she showed. It's like, ew, you know, it freaked me out too.
I didn't even notice it.
Oh God. But the fact that we are so effed up about nakedness, it is a mental block, and I'm not quite sure where it comes from or why it's embedded in our culture, but if we could only get rid of that one little thing, this would truly be the land of milk and honey.
and nudity, apparently.
And by the way, you have these issues yourself, you know.
I do. I'm an American, unlike yourself.
I'm not patriotic, damn it. I'm an anti-patriot. Because I'm not messed up about naked people. Nakedness is beautiful. Look at 17th century art, 18th century. Everyone was naked all the time.
They were
sex fiends. Is that what you were going to say? And meanwhile, we're luring people to cheat on their wives. What is wrong with us? Ugh.
All right. So I got a note from somebody saying I should blast kombucha.
As in Cambodia?
Well, that's the stuff that people drink.
What's that?
So I looked at it. I'll just read. You can look it up in Wikipedia, folks, and you can get a clue. K-O-M-B-U-C-H-A.
Kombucha.
I've seen this before. It's a gob of goo that you cultivate.
A blurb of goo.
And it's essentially a giant acetic acid, acetobacter mixed with some other crap that forms kind of a colony in a jug. And then you drink this tea, and then you supposedly it has health benefits when in fact it's probably toxic. I one of these days I'll have to give my lecture on
how vinegar. How is this being marketed, though?
It's an underground thing. It's being marketed. You know, you can go to a health food place and probably get the mother. And then you can start growing it yourself, and then you drink this stuff, and you will have heartburn for the rest of your life, I can assure you.
You will want to puke all day long.
No, I mean, seriously, that's a real... I was floating around... it's kind of off topic, but I was floating around Croatia with the wine and food guy
with some illegal weapons, no doubt.
And I wouldn't be talking to you if I did. And it was like, you know, he grows his. I've been growing vinegar for maybe 35 years.
Stop that. You have been growing vinegar?
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating. Do expand for no longer than 2 minutes.
If you're a wine drinker, you get a lot of wine, you don't drink it. You know, I mean, you just don't drink everything. You either throw it out, or if you sense that it might become good vinegar, you put it into a bottle that you're making vinegar in, and it takes about 6 months to 2 years.
You just let it sit there and turn into vinegar, or do you have to add stuff? Do you have to rotate?
If you don't have a culture, you have to add stuff. But generally speaking, you can get a lot of these French wines, and they got the vinegar culture built in. So I've got a lot of good vinegar. Some of the stuff's pretty spectacular. Some of it reverts and tastes like or smells like paint.
I wouldn't mind trying some of your vinegar, actually.
I'll give you a taste of the one I have, which I still think is the best one I ever made. I don't even use it for anything except to give people a taste of it so they can go, holy crap, that's the greatest vinegar I've ever had.
Of course you would.
But right. I used to have a culture using that had this. There's a mother that forms in vinegar. And it forms. There's different kinds. There's some that don't. You can't even see. There's no solid thing. There's some that's like a little bunch of crust along the top that's a color of wine. And then there's this big giant white thing that grows. And it forms a big. It's just an organism. And then if you pour the vinegar off, you could pull this thing out, and it's like a pancake made out of rubber.
And what do you do with that?
Well, for one thing, you don't drink the vinegar. I made some vinegar with this crap, and the problem is it's delicious vinegar, but I read, and unfortunately, it was in a microbiology journal, and I've never been able to redocument it, that it creates a poisonous vinegar. It's not that it kills you, but you will get the worst heartburn that lasts for a really long time. It may even be related to that ulcer-creating a bacteria that people, right. You know, they find out after, like, what, hundreds of years that there's a bacteria that gives people ulcers?
Yeah.
This is our medical, you know, world.
All right, John. I do want to talk about some Monsanto stuff because your wife has been doing a lot of show prep for us, but I do want to take one little sidestep, if you don't mind, into the realm of...
And now, back to real news.
One of our producers / listeners out there, David, I don't even know if we should... Well, I'll just say his last name, David Koss. I'm just going to read his email. Hi, guys. I was the video director for George Strait's concert tour the last few years. 2 years ago... Taylor Swift was the opening act. Now, you know that Taylor Swift and the way she's been ramrodded into popular culture has been a topic here on No Agenda. Well, it turns out her dad gave $1 million to George in turn for her to be the opening act. Her parents were setting this whole thing up. They stayed on the road with her the whole time, and they made sure she stayed and signed every last CD the fans wanted signed until everyone was gone. She sucked so bad live, I couldn't stand it. She was a total airhead. One time on stage, she said, "It's so hard to believe that a year ago I was still in high school." And some guy in the audience yelled, "Go back!" Her parents totally bought her way into fame. Just thought I'd add my two cents about her suckage. David, thank you very much. And of course, this is how the real truth floats to the surface if you listen to alternative media and turn off your television.
Well, let me add to that note, which I also got. Who we're talking about is the 30-year veteran of Merrill Lynch. His name is Scott K. Swift. He's actually so talented.
Oh, Jesus, I didn't even know that.
He's so talented that they spun him off as a total Merrill guy called the Swift Group, which is Global Wealth Management. He is a high net worth money man.
The guy's got $100 million at least in the bank.
Oh, at least. But he only does high net worth individuals, and he helps them along the way to make their investment strategies. And where are they located? Where did he move the Swift Group? Take a wild guess.
I'm afraid.
Nashville, Tennessee.
The center of country and Western music. Oh my God. Now do you see how it works? The guy bought into NBC, bought into Vivendi, everything's connected, and the shit gets ramrodded down your throat. And what happens is beautiful children like Andrew Grumman's daughter gets indoctrinated with this crap. It's destroying our kids. Andrew, turn off the television! It's horrible.
Exactly.
This is exactly how it works. Please pay attention to how your children are being destroyed through the use of money.
Anyway, I wish her all the luck in the world.
John Jensen says, Adam, when you told that story about you watching Tom Brokaw from the broadcast booth and the producer talking into his IFB, that is all the best parts of the movie Broadcast News. That came out when I was in college studying journalism, and I so wanted to be a part of TV news. And now, 20 years later, I'm so glad I never made it down that path. Signed, John Jensen, truck driver. Yes. I love it. The backbone of America, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, John. Really appreciate that comment. Awesome. And you're so right. You got saved, my friend. You got a real job. You're really doing something for the country. All right.
But watch out for weird women at some of these bars.
Yeah, really. If a really cute chick comes up to you and offers to drive you home, you ever hear the saying, if something seems too good to be true, it probably is? Okay, deny it. Don't go there. And that is so evil. That is so evil to do that. Because, every guy who's in a bar who's had at least three beers is going to be like, I mean, look, hey, never watched The Simpsons? Have you never watched Family Guy? Of course, all the blood rushes away from your head into your penis, and you're like, By the way, John, I had a horrific experience I'd like to share with you. I got a new wardrobe, and I got new trousers, and I have a pair of, these are like high-end brand name trousers, and yesterday, I'm like, I feel something like weird on my leg. And I take off my pants and there is blood streaming out of my testicles. And I mean like, I'm like gushing.
God, this story sounds terrible.
I almost threw up. You look down and you're like, oh my God.
And my balls have blown up.
It's like, I got to lay off the sex. But what happened was, inside these high-end, very expensive, brand-name designer jeans, because I had to investigate what's going on, the seam is a very, very hard seam, and it had somehow cut a very small vein, because the actual cut was microscopic, like a pinprick. But my God, does that thing bleed? And it's almost impossible to get it to stop.
Sounds like a lawsuit to me.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm traumatized. Oh yes. Now, I mean, that was it, I don't know if you've ever
sounds like you were traumatized. I can talk to a lawyer immediately.
I don't know if you've ever had anything like that happen, but that is a very, very, very scary experience. And you can't get it to stop. You know, it doesn't just like, you know, you got to,
you know, you needed a cut, man.
It's like, I'm like, hey, baby, throw some salt water on that shit. Oh, boy. And of course, the jeans are ruined. So, but, you know, what am I going to do? Take it back to the store? Hey, let me talk to you for a second. Let me talk to you about what happened here.
What's the brand?
I'd have to get up and go look, but it's...
No, don't worry about it.
It's like Prada or something. You know, it's like some high-end brand.
That's what you get for buying that stuff. You should just buy your pants at Costco like the rest of the normal people.
Well, I had hoped that my HEMA underwear would have protected me, but apparently not so. Because of the maybe it was the nanotechnology that seeped into my ball sack.
So,
anyway, that was my weekend. How you doing?
We forgot to talk about things last time that I teased. I wanted to mention Biz Kids.
Oh, yes. I'm
Kids
get my,
Biz.
Get my notes here because I wrote down the things we were going to talk about today. So, yeah, Kids Biz, which is on the...
PBS. It's a PBS show.
Public television. So this is supposed to be the stuff that's really good for your kids.
Let's see. Kids Biz is a community internet blah, 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 blah. Kids Biz. I'm trying to see where they get some. Let me find it. So I get the right. So I get it actually right.
Yeah, I'm getting my notes here for the stuff that we were going to talk about.
Okay, here it is. Kids Biz is a credit union sponsored banks.
Wait a minute. Stop. How can it be sponsored if it's on public television? Isn't public television supposed to be completely agnostic to commercialism and it's only donations?
The guys who wrote this webpage have mistakenly used the word sponsored instead of underwritten.
But even what's the difference?
The difference is there's no commercials.
Yeah, but
except at the beginning and the end.
But it's even worse because the money comes from a commercial entity and they will no longer underwrite if you don't follow their guidelines, I'm sure.
Duh.
Just saying. Okay.
So then the show is actually, it's actually Biz Kids, and it's spelled BIZKID $.
Oh, no. The power of money, brought to you by PBS.
So I'm watching this thing. I don't know that they play it locally, but they play it up in Seattle. And I'm watching this thing, and my wife keeps coming in and out saying, what are you watching this crap for? And I'm just sitting there transfixed with my jaw on the floor for the whole time. I think it's an hour, or at least it's a half. It seems like an hour. So the show was about what is money, and the whole thing was like a brainwashing session trying to get kids to realize that anything can be money. And you just on what you want to... Whatever you call money is money, and this is like I'm thinking, this is pretty sketchy. But the thing that got me was that halfway through the show, there's this character who's a puppet that shows up. He's inside of a giant bank vault safe with the thing that turns and everything. And it opens up, big, thick thing, and he's Jewish.
Wait a minute.
Puppet is Jewish. I mean, he's not obviously
Jewish. How do you know
puppet.
He's Jewish? Does he have a Star of David?
He's got a big nose. He's got a Woody Allen glasses. He talks like a Jewish guy might talk. And he's talking more like Woody Allen, actually, than anything. And he's counting money.
Oh, my God.
And he says a bunch of these kind of old comments, kind of cliches about money. And then they close the safe on this guy. And then they open it up later again. And there's this Jew. I mean, he is distinct. Stereotypically Jewish.
Wait a minute, so he's sitting in the bank vault counting money, looking like a Jew, and this is supposed to tell our kids what? This is a kids program.
What does it tell our kids? I have no idea, but how does PBS respond to something like this? I mean, are they not noticing this? This is like our liberal media, PBS, you can't stereotype, everybody should equal pay for equal work, one thing after another. And then meanwhile, they got this, it's, to be honest about it, I don't normally care about some of these stereotypes as they show, but this one was insulting to me, and I'm not Jewish.
God almighty. Now, is this available online? Is there something I can put into show notes so we can,
Well, I mean, there's a Biz Kids video promo on YouTube.
This program should be taken off the air immediately. The producer should be vilified. The underwriter should be named and shamed. I mean, the president should step in on this kind of shit. While we're at it, why don't we just have like a crack dealer who's a black guy? Put that in there, kids. I mean, Jesus, this is outrageous.
I was stunned.
Before we've really been hitting a lot of true topics here today, so before we get taken out back and get two to the head and the gun placed in our left hand, I just want to put something out there that's a little wacky. The Air France 447, Flight 447, there is an alternative theory that is now going around. Actually, it's not even a theory. A Spanish newspaper has reported that a transatlantic pilot in flight reported seeing a bright flash of white light at the exact same moment the Air France flight disappeared. Here's the quote. "Suddenly we saw in the distance a strong, intense flash of white light that took a downward vertical trajectory and disappeared in 6 seconds. This is coming from the pilot of an Air Comet flight from Lima to Madrid. This is according to El Mundo. We did not hear any communication on an emergency or air-to-air frequency either before or after this event." So, this is clearly a part of the space wars that's going on. And they nuked this airplane from space. They nuked it from space as a part of the ongoing Boeing Airbus all-out
from
global
a satellite.
War. No, not from a satellite, from a space station. And they nuked it. They just with a death ray. They nuked it. Hey, you know what? When Gates talks about bringing out a giant satellite, doesn't that sound to you a bit like Austin Powers? So you know, does
Dr. Evil?
That's right. Dr. Evil is up there nuking planes out of the sky. So this will not go reported anywhere, by the way. And this is a Reuters news report that I'm reading this from. But you will not see this on the Pharma News with George Stephanopoulos.
No.
Okay. Hey, while we're before we get into, I do want to do some Monsanto because otherwise, you know, your wife has done all this work for nothing.
Yeah, we can tease it for the next show because it's like a never ending story. But yeah, she has a million links to she. But basically, let me get to the Monsanto story before you do the other thing. I'll just summarize a couple of things.
Okay.
She got on a kick about these things called Terminator seeds, which is one term for them. They're also, they have a number of other terms. Apparently, there's this company. It was actually a patent that was received in 1998 that was developed by the Delta Pine and Land Company in conjunction with the USDA during the Clinton administration.
Gee, no kidding.
To make these seeds called Terminator seeds that essentially
they don't replicate, right? They die, don't they?
And the seeds that come from the crop cannot be reused. So the farmers who normally like grow a crop and then they put some of the crop become seeds and they use those seeds the next year, which is how mankind has existed for so long. No, the seeds won't live. You have to buy seeds.
You have to buy a new batch.
The problem is that we're having crop failures. There's a million links to crop failures, other problems.
Yeah, but John, if you watch the documentary, The World According to Monsanto, which is done by, it's a wonderful French documentary done by this French woman, and it's really a beautiful piece the way she put it together. This does come up, these Terminator seeds. It is a part of the documentary. You can watch it online. Please find that. The World
right,
According
after
to
1998.
Monsanto.
Monsanto bought Delta Pine and Land. That's how they got into the business. But it's causing all kinds of interesting problems. And my wife turned up the fact that it's possible. There's one of two things. One, there's also a coating they're putting on some seeds to kill some worm. But it's either the Terminator seeds or this other poison that may be responsible for killing off all the bees.
Well, you know what's next is we're going to make Terminator humans where, you know, your seed is just useless. So once you're made, that's it. Then your seed no longer propagates. And by the way, there's lots of people who have this problem already. They could be test subjects. Think about it. And if you eat that shit.
Between 2002 and 2006 because of genetically. By the way, we got a note from somebody who's a student that said that we shouldn't even be talking about this because there's nothing wrong with genetic modification and all the rest of it.
Nothing wrong with fucking with Mother Nature. Nothing wrong. Nothing to see here. Please move along.
I found it was extremely
annoying.
You know, it sounded like she's going to classes that are being taught by Monsanto. I'd like to have her explain why we have between 2002 and 2006 because of failure, mostly GMO crops. This is an actual number. It's kind of like this number can't be true. In India, between 2002 and 2006, there have been 87,567 farmer suicides.
Yes, suicides. They're killing themselves because their crops fail and it's over. Their life is over. They have nothing left to do. They have no other vocation. There is no other possibility.
And they're in debt.
And they're in huge debt and they just top themselves. Yeah. What's it, 87,000? I mean, there's a lot.
87,000.
Now, granted, there's a lot of Indians, so you know, it's not like that's gonna hurt us in the Indian count. But still, that's those 87,000. Multiply that by 10, the number of people that depend on one farmer, just in immediate family. How about all the workers? You're talking maybe 10 million people who are affected by this just in India alone.
Well, anyway, go on to your topic. We'll get back to Monsanto. Monsanto's a good theme for us, and we'll revisit.
We will stay on it. We will stay.
Wife does have a lot of documents that she
can and I'm very happy that she's contributing in that way. We're actually almost out of time, and you did promise, as I see here in my notes, that you would give us a good list of people who have been donating to this program.
Yes, I have the list here someplace. We just buried it.
So while you're finding that, this is a audience-supported show. We have no ads. We are not underwritten. There is absolutely no commercial interest whatsoever, other than perhaps some of the Google juice we generate for Mevio, which, of course, we're also using Mevio's infrastructure, so that's kind of a reasonable trade-off. Everything else, and today, by the way, I'm using the Candlestick microphone holder. This is how low-budget the show is. It's actually clipped into the wax of a candlestick. So if you feel that we could use a little bit of help, just a little bit, then we'd surely appreciate your donation so we can continue to bring you real news. We'll stay on topics like Monsanto and of course the people laugh at us and they say, oh, you're talking about Taylor Swift. That's not real news. But to understand that a huge money man who's probably involved in all this bullshit, stealing of finances, he probably got here it is. Trace it back. He probably got bonus money from your money, which was given by the government, taken from your taxes. He then used at least $1 million of that money to make his untalented, lame ass daughter a superstar. How do you feel now? Because if you don't feel like a train just drove up your anus, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, well, I wish her all the luck in the world, personally.
Of course.
Okay, so we got Greg Birch and it's Lachazar Nikolov who gave us $100, and that was in addition to, I think we mentioned already, Andrew Valencia, Kelly Rogstad, and Tim Tillman last time, which was a while back.
Yeah,
Mark DeJong, Brett Farrell, Affordable Home Insulators gave us $75.
Thank you. I wonder why 75. That's an
I don't know. It's an odd number.
Atypical number.
Philip Hart gens another 50, and then we have some offbeat donations with 1040, the tax form.
10 tax form, yeah.
1984. 1414, I think we figured that out before. Then I have 799, which I don't get, and 888, which is a lucky number in China.
799. That's just a good deal at Costco.
So, but we do need more because it's we're gonna have to come up with some premiums and stuff because we're actually
yeah, promises with the premiums. Promises,
yeah, this promises. Is all my fault and I'm not gonna deny it. But anyway, Dvorak.org/NA, we could appreciate anybody subscribing. $24 a year is what we recommend, or also noagendalibrary.com. Dvorak.org/NA.
But if you give us $1,000, we will actually show up your house and perform fellatio
and
on
you. And we have the knighthood thing. Working for the few nights that we have, but some people I would look. I'm going to put a link up on the new webpage that's going to let you do a installment layaway.
And how about our Squarespace website?
Yeah,
is that up and
running?
I need
to get back on that too.
It's noagendashow.com. There is a page up. It just doesn't do anything yet.
Yeah.
Maybe we just give someone access and they'll. I mean, we've got people building no agenda forums, no agenda.
Yeah, no,
chat.
We should probably just give it to somebody. Yeah. He can just. Yeah. Okay. Anybody out there, send me an email, john@dvorak.org, and we'll hook you up with the password.
We are over our time, our allotted amount for today, and I'm going to hit the pool, if you don't mind, with joy. So, coming to you from an undisclosed hotel location in Los Angeles, California, in Gitmo Nation West, my name's Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, sunny Northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will talk to you again right here on No Agenda this coming Thursday on noagendastream.com.